Don't tell Julia, but it is Tuesday, the most productive day of the week, and we've had a pretty productive show so far, wouldn't you say?
And Julia, the MyTalk Twitter peeps tweeted the little, you know, random thing where you were quizzing Rocco and I last Friday about who was the most stressful person in our lives, and I just immediately said you.
And I wasn't on the list.
And co-worker was number six, or family was number two, or whatever. But my saying it gave also then Rocco the bravery to also confess that you too. So that is posted.
I don't believe either of you. But is that posted?
It's posted. It's hilarious because it's one of those YouTube things they did.
Oh, it's funny. Sometimes I scroll through my Twitter and I see my own face and I'm like, what's going on?
I know. It was funny. It was funny.
Did you retweet it?
Yeah, because you were so...
offended? I wasn't.
No, you were surprised, but not. You know, like, that's one of the beauties of you, is that you were surprised, but not really. You weren't going to take it the wrong way.
I'm going to own it. For very good reasons that I stress you guys out.
And believe me.
Valid reasons.
And believe me, we don't want to relive it. That's what makes you stressful, okay?
But I won't. I'll send out emails with directions later.
No, okay, so here, we knew this a couple months ago, but it was just so far away. We thought, oh, who cares about the Oscars or whatever, but... Our friend Sandy is the only person that we know who went to an Elton John pre-Oscar party.
And she
originally when Elton John started having this, the Oscar party, it was to raise money for the Elton John AIDS Foundation.
Right.
She went to the one in Miami and she just said it was just like a who's who of people.
Can't imagine. Right.
Anyway, and she has photographic proof.
Yes, she does.
Because it was like in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things could be suspicious. Just like, I don't think I have one photo or Polaroid of anything incriminating I did in the 80s.
Thank God.
Yeah, they've been scattered to the winds by now or lost.
And it's so...
No, it's terrible. I can see some of the Polaroids. Not good.
No, I'm so grateful that we don't have
my Polaroid of Bananarama and, you know... Stevie Nicks either. So, you know, there's a downside. Dua Lipa is performing at the Elton John David Furnish Oscar party, and we can all go, albeit virtually. The show is on from 7 to 8. It comes on right before the Oscars. So we're only getting 1 hour of his party, but it's the hour, you know, the hour of power, and for $20 through Ticketmaster and all of the money is going to the Elton John AIDS Foundation.
But wait a minute. So when we go, are we going to be a Zoom?
Yes.
So we'll be a little square. Because I went to...
No, not a little square. It'll be like we're looking in at a concert.
We're
not going to see ourselves. Okay. We're going to be in the party.
So we have access. VIP access.
Yes.
Like a drone.
Yes.
Flying around a little party.
I'm totally
doing
this.
I want to overhear
this.
Some conversations. Are you?
Yes.
I love that. All right.
I mean, I... see her perform at his party for $20 and the whole thing goes to the Elton. I mean, this will be better than watching the not. I mean, there's going to be a bit of a red carpet. But remember, these yo-hos at the Oscars are telling us that they're going to deliver us an Oscar show that's a movie. If you remember just a couple months ago, there was a whole thing on Twitter about people and they were doing their emojis and their feelings about they can watch 10 hours of something on Netflix, but if it's a two-hour movie or 2.5-hour or 3-hour movie, that's too long.
It's too long.
Right?
Right.
So my question for the Oscars, because they even made a little movie.
Talking about who the presenters are. And it wasn't a movie. It was silly.
Was a little movie.
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
True, it was a little movie, and they're promoting movies on a television show, which many people in the Academy don't believe movies should be shown on TV. I mean, you know, the irony abounds, you know. And so do these three film directors, including Steven Soderbergh, know how to make good TV? Because...
I have a sneaky feeling they're going to pull something off.
Is it going to feel like a series or a very long movie? You and I will watch it no matter what. We're not the audience.
I'm hopeful. I'm just going to be hopeful for it. I just want to be entertained.
Because with the presenting of their little movie, with all the presenters in a little movie, they said this. In keeping with our award show as a movie approach, we've assembled a truly stellar cast of stars. There's so much wattage here. Sunglasses may be required.
Funny.
No. Corny.
I know, but funny.
A corny.
Corny and funny.
Corny.
Corny and funny.
Is it intentionally corny?
Corny and funny.
I like the fun, quirky energy that like Netflix does when they're promoting something. It just feels like...
Like, give me an example.
Stuffy. No, you have to follow them on Instagram or Twitter. How they do stuff.
Oh, okay.
I just kind of feel that you got three filmmakers. Now, when have three filmmakers ever agreed on anything? Can you imagine? They're all producing the movie, the show, the movie.
I'm hopeful.
The TV show that's a movie.
Well, can I tell you how our Patrick, our laundry
evangelist
is all over rocking it. So last night I got hooked into Rock the Block. It was the final night where four different homes by eight different designers, the designer pairs, are doing these homes that are right next to each other. They're the exact same homes. Shell, but they can put up whatever serial models, interior, they can knock down walls and do whatever. And so in the bottom corner, every probably 8 minutes, 5 minutes, Patrick, the laundromat guy.
The laundry evangelist.
No, but they don't
the
say that.
Guy? The laundry guy.
Is his name on Discover Plus. Check out Patrick, the laundry. I mean, it just kept coming up. So I finally texted him. I'm like, you're everywhere. And so he's so excited. But I mean, it is everywhere.
Have you watched it?
No, because I haven't signed up for Discovery Plus.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to hear from someone who has to find out what the options are. But I was so excited to watch the finale.
It's of all Rock the shows you love.
I know it, Lori.
If there's
one streaming
service you should have is Discovery Plus. It's everything that you love, Julia.
I know.
It's like, you know.
It's me.
It's you.
For $4.99 a month.
And it's kind of me, too, in the sense that it's got the ID channel and it's got some
other things,
that kind of. It's got a really big bevy of selection.
I know, but I was just so excited for
him. Yeah, well, he's a delightful person. And he
100%.
They realize that he will bring in sign-ups. No, everything. He will bring people signing up. I wonder what the sign up is.
I mean, because this was the biggest show. I mean, Rock the Block has been going on for weeks, and they have all these competitions. Yeah. Last night's the finale, and all they're featuring is him.
Yeah.
I was so like, rock in, Patrick.
Good. That's good.
Rock on. All right, are we done worrying about the movie and the TV show and the movie?
Well, just it's a high concept casting the stars as characters in this trailer for a TV show that's going to be, they're going to make us feel like it's a movie.
You know what would be funny?
Yeah. I wish they would be funny.
If it really was a movie and they had a script and in the movie they started giving out awards or something funny like that.
Bang it open with something really great.
Just pretend they're making movies and then in the middle of it, who wins this best thing. And then just go
And that's
off.
The best recipe. If they want to make this not feel like the longest movie night of our life and make it feel like a series we want to binge, start it off with a bang like that.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun.
Okay, now here's some sad news. Really, Holly should be weighing in on this. But there's a theater chain on the West Coast called ArcLight Theater Chain. They have, it's the very wealthy Foreman family of Los Angeles. The most famous place they own that's part of there is Pacific Cinerama Theater.
I've seen that.
It's the round geodesic dome theater in L.A. And it's kind of like what the Cooper used to be.
Yes.
You know, that movie theater was
an
so wild.
Place.
Iconic. Anyway, so they think maybe Netflix might buy the Cinerama Dome.
So are they just saying they're closing because movies aren't.
They don't know if Roger Freeman wrote, he doesn't know if a white knight, quote unquote, will come in. It's a huge blow to the theater business. They've kept it open for a year. The family has plenty of money, but I guess they've just decided, you know,
now's the time.
Well, yeah, and they got their.
No one wants to inherit it.
Nobody wants to inherit it.
No one
I think
wants
is
to take
what
it over.
It is, so.
The kids have all gotten snobby.
Anyway, people in LA are gutted. It's kind of a lot of.
Well, there's a lot of money there. If they're really gutted, they could get together a group of people.
That's what he's hoping happens.
The gutted rich people.
That's what he's hoping happened. And then Nicole Kidman is telling us something we didn't need to know, but yet we know it now. I'm going to tell you. I don't know why.
I know
like this.
That she rubs his feet?
she gives Keith Urban
pedicures. Why does that bug you? I think it's sweet.
I think
you don't like feet.
No, I love feet, Julia. You know I love feet.
I know you
feet.
Love feet, but why wouldn't you want to touch Keith Urban's feet of all beautiful tan Australian feet? You know he's got beautiful feet.
Possibly. Possibly.
Sure? I feel I'm going to look for a picture of Keith Urban.
I possibly feel like he would maybe have that's why she does. They're beautiful. But here's why, Julia. Because I would not be able to focus on his beautiful feet for long. My foot rub would become an ankle rub, a calf rub, a thigh rub.
He shows his feet a lot.
Would be tug. You know, that would be all it. There would be no finishing the pedicure.
He's a barefoot guy. He's got nice,
big,
tan.
Long feet.
He does have long toes.
How tall is that guy?
Oh, God. He's not tall.
Okay. No. I don't know. Unless that's just code for, you know, that's she's talking in code because she's
10.
Yeah, she says she gives her girls pedicures too. So, okay, it's just her way of showing love.
It's her way of showing love. Oh, no, he's got good feet.
Does he? Yeah. But no, still, if they're good feet, Julia, you're not going to be on the feet for long. You're never going to finish the pedicure because all of a sudden you're going up and up and.
Every thought, and then before you know it, the minge will come out.
That's right. And you know what, Julia? Then you're not stuck clipping and finding dark sock material in the corner of his toe.
We're off.
And every other bad thing there is to know about a man's feet. You should know what needs to be known.
Okay. Goodbye. Goodbye. We're done. Oh, we'll be back.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's going on in the dirt?
Mick Jagger's in the news today.
Oh, we played his song earlier. If you want to hear it, you just let us.
All right. Well, maybe Rocco can put up Easy Sleazy. Song, a collaboration with Dave Grohl that's talking about the year that we have had, the year of COVID-19, the tragedies, absurdities, conspiracy theories, and also a little hopefulness on the part of Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
It rocks for you guys.
Yeah, totally. I like it. I really like it. And I love that Dave Grohl's doing all the instruments. And, even Keith probably reached out and said, pretty good song, man.
It's pretty good, Mick. It's pretty good. All right. So that is out. And Dave Grohl, by the way, says collaborating with Mick Jagger is a dream come true.
Oh, I believe it. I'd love to collaborate with Mick Jagger on anything.
Just like you would like to massage Keith Urban's sixth toe?
I don't think that's sexy. Holly.
Also, what's the allure? Going back to the story you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
In the previous segment, that Nicole Kidman likes to show affection by giving her family pedicures, but not limited to Keith Urban.
Yeah, she said she did her daughter's, but to me, I'm just quite frankly too lazy to give.
Well, of course you are.
Someone a pedicure.
Of course you are. You would barely even comb my hair if I asked you.
Yeah, Julia, I don't like doing those types of duties.
She doesn't like to do any of that.
But also, like I said, toe jam, toe sock, things. Everything else, clippings, bleh, not sexy.
But we have spent, Lori, explain this.
Yeah.
We have spent many a minute talking about your love of feet.
I love feet, but I don't want to clean them or trim them or have anything to do with any kind of like shaving off dead calluses. It makes me sick to my stomach.
She's really, I got to be honest.
It's not sexy.
No.
Okay. Well, we'll just leave it at admiring Elvis's feet from afar.
Yes, I love admiring them and love looking at them. I mean, there's nobody's feet I would never want to see who I wasn't. I'm attracted to somebody, and then if they've got great feet, you're just like, that is killer. That's the whole package.
Chef's kiss. Kris Jenner's talking to the Wall Street Journal magazine about her upcoming deal with Hulu. That's concerning the whole Kardashian-Jenner family. Unfortunately for all of us, Kris Jenner doesn't have that much to say. She said, we haven't really nailed down the exact format yet. Speculations.
They're each going to have their own individual show.
Right.
And it'll be promoting whatever their brands are. And it'll be, they won't have to do the family thing. So they're each, there's just going to be more Kardashian, and Hulu is gambling, I guess, that we want to have it. But the best shade of anything is that Kris Jenner didn't know what Hulu was.
Oh, now I love that.
She did not know what Hulu was. She'd never heard of it.
Oh, that is Mariah Carey level shade yeah. to the streamer. Oh, uh-huh. my goodness.
Uh-huh. And Hulu has a lot of good programming.
They Hulu actually do. Is really good value for money.
Yes.
If you are trying to decide...
Hulu and Netflix,
mm-hmm. because when you get Hulu, you get FX, which is totally worth it if you're not doing right. the cable thing. A lot of quality programming there. And then you get a lot of the broadcast networks. You can usually watch those shows the following day.
Yeah, like Bravo. And yeah. I mean, yeah, it is like if you're someone who cut the cord,
yes.
that Hulu is... going to be your friend.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, all of our friends.
So she television. Didn't know what it was. So she says, you know. So,
yeah, exactly.
But it is great shade. But that's what I think. I think there's going to be multiple shows.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And yeah. all to sell something.
Yep.
All of them to sell something. So.
Oh, gosh, probably some kind of direct buy mechanism with all of the Kardashian Jenner's mm-hmm. beauty products, the Skims. Goodness knows what else they're trying to sell. Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley are trying to sell their relationship to us.
Why are they so thirsty? Yeah. This is very unusual for both of them.
Yes, exactly. So Aaron Rodgers, Shailene Woodley, we know those two are engaged, but they decided to do a video at Disney
mm-hmm.
where they were gushing over each other. And if not for social distancing, I'm surprised that they wouldn't like dry hump each other on this video.
Yeah, I really, there's something... off
now
with these two.
I go to our sporting desk that is manned by Julia.
Okay.
Yes.
Julia, do you think that I heard from a listener that Aaron Rodgers is currently in negotiation in contracts with the Green Bay Packers, and perhaps this relationship with Shailene Woodley is being used to leverage some kind
I'm
of
sorry,
negotiation.
They don't care power. About that. They just care if you're a good football player. I can't see how dating a celebrity has anything to do with how you're going to play football.
Thank you.
No. You don't think so? You don't think there's
the
any so
nope.
there, no
nope.
celebrity
it's
driven
Wisconsin.
There?
It's no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
Well, one of the questions that was asked in this video, what is the one thing that always makes you smile? Shailene said, this guy. Aaron Rodgers said, you. Shailene continues that you're so cute. And Aaron Rodgers follows up, yeah, you always make me smile.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe she hasn't had that many movie roles. Maybe this is for her career, too.
That's what I'm thinking more. I feel like there's more an upside for her. Because she hasn't done anything in a long time.
I mean, she did that sailing one a couple years ago, that Adrift, I think it was called. I watched it on the plane. It was good on the plane, you know. But, I mean, her career, maybe it's kind of too for her to get people to think of her in the category so that when all these other actresses that are working, it always seems like, unfortunately, they get the actresses or actors, they get put into pods of people.
Right. Yeah.
Like the same people get asked in the same age group. And Shailene isn't getting as many offers, and maybe she would like to change
it. I would believe that.
All right. Paulina Porizkova celebrating her 40th anniversary reverse Vogue cover by going full frontal nude.
Oh.
For the May cover of Vogue CS. That would be.
Don't ask me to do that, Lori.
No.
Lori already asked me to do that for Playboy.
And you said no?
She did.
I did.
Oh, okay. Well, on the May cover of Vogue for the Czech Republic, Paulina Porizkova is in a sheer black bodysuit with appropriately placed swan emojis.
Yeah, you know what? I think she's just out there hustling and working because she got screwed by Rick Ocasek.
Oh, man.
Her husband of 35 years.
I would agree with you terribly.
And I just think she doesn't have any money. Mm-mm. She got turned out of the house that she bought.
Right.
I mean,
she was so screwed by him.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's looking fantastic. Strategically placed swans and all.
He kind of gives a gal an idea for a modeling shoot. That sheer net bodysuit really, you know, is kind of...
It's a nice look.
It's sexy, but not... raunchy, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know, it's classy sexy.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you get the shading that goes down to there in a very classy mm-hmm. way. You know, somebody else also, I mean, if we're going to talk about people looking good in publications, Lucy Liu is currently on the cover of, I believe she is on the cover of Women's, oh gosh, one of the fitness magazines, okay. But she is doing a bathing suit pictorial, and she's looking fantastic, so obviously she's putting herself out
there. I love her. She was so great on Sherlock. She was so great on Ally McBeal. I mean, she just has been great for such a long time. She should have like more of the world at her feet.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right. Well, that's all the dirt today.
Thank you, Holly, thanks, so Holly. Much. We've got Sex Monday coming up if you want to stick around.
It's Tuesday.
Or I mean, study of duh. That's right.
You're
I
still thinking about Keith Urban's Sex
Monday. I'm on
and I'm
sex.
Thinking of Paulina's swans.
That's right.
This is the study of duh with noted academic journal skimmer, Lori. Everybody
knows. Yeah, everyone knows that duh. Everybody knows.
That's how it goes. Study of duh. I know. I forgot it wasn't Monday. I was just having so much fun thinking sexy thoughts.
You weren't.
I was having fun thinking of sexy thoughts, Julia. I beg your pardon. I really was. Okay. here is the study of duh. Several of them today, but I thought this, I'm glad to see that this distinguished professor of sociology and demographics from University Park College came out with and reminding us that when it comes to getting bullied when you're a kid, whether it's elementary school, junior high, high school, children are more likely to be bullied by a friend than a stranger. And this is the mistake that parents sometimes make. And that is because this is the theory now. People forget what it's like to be a kid, and they forget that the bullying, the most painful things that happen to kids with other friends when they don't want to go to school or something, they're getting bullied by someone they know. That is a duh.
All yeah. right.
If you did not know that, know that.
I'm trying to think of who I was bullied by.
And bullying can be where you get dropped from the group of friends. You're not invited to be the
bullying
lunch
takes
table.
Many shapes and
that's
forms.
Right. Okay. But that is the one peer aggression. That's really what bullying is. You know, it's a peer, someone that you know, like, and all of a sudden they're not talking to you anymore.
Right.
It's just people like kind of forget that the bullying, they think, oh, it's a stranger. Who is this? But it is almost always someone that your kid knows. So start there.
All right.
Okay. Just good for everyone.
Wise words of wisdom.
Because it's a serious problem among teens, and kids just do it and they don't even realize it. And sometimes parents have to have the hard conversation because their kid is the bully.
Yes.
Not, you know yes. what I mean? Your kid is the one that is, and that's why this university theorized that bullying prevention programs often fall short is they don't account for the fact that popularity contests common in high school and even in junior high tend to encourage peer bullying.
Right.
It's kind of the pack mentality. And people use it to gain attention and status, and it's just the hardest thing to stem.
Mm-hmm. So, got it.
Okay, so there is that. Okay. And I liked that study because they looked at researchers surveyed over 5,000 kids once a year through the 5 years of the study. So that's, you know, that's not nothing.
No, it's not.
I mean, you know, it had, I think they were 11 or 12, and then it was for 5 years. And then also that is the, you know, remember how like, maybe this didn't ever happen to you, but like you had a junior high friend and then you go to or a grade school friend, you go to junior high and then you're not friends anymore, or junior high
you
to
hear
high
that.
School.
Yeah. You do hear that and see that.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. So here's
That's summer. Something changes over the summer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So sad. It's really, can really be upsetting for kids. Okay. This study, someone sent us to us on Twitter, and it was from Stylist Magazine. But she just was like, this is a study of duh, ladies. Study confirms what we've long suspected. Men are more emotional at work than women.
Okay, let's expand on this one. Rocco, are you listening?
I'm listening.
Yeah, right. Guy, men are up to 3 times more emotional than women in the workplace because for as long as women have been in the workplace, we've been fending off the sexist and totally unfounded narrative that we're more emotional than their male counterparts, mostly because we have periods. That would be the unsaid part of it. But this, according to the findings, men are twice as likely to get emotional or upset when their ideas weren't heard or because they felt criticized. They get more upset, which is often works to their advantage because then people don't call them out on it.
Right.
Whereas women, we keep a lid on it, just like Sharon Osbourne, you know, felt free to go off on Cheryl Underwood, and she kept a lid on it because one's white, one's black. So, and also men were 3 times more likely to feel emotional, whether that be anger or whatever, if a project goes over budget, if they miss a deadline, if the order gets canceled, that they don't handle it well, and that they've just been, it's not the fault of men or women, but we're socialized to display emotions differently, especially at work. And men are more likely to report experiencing emotions associated with power, which is being angry or boastful, prideful. And, you know, power is way part of that. And of course, not being heard is part of with women because we're lacking in status. So, and that's why sadness is associated with a lack of power in social settings like the workplace.
Okay,
so,
got it.
Like, don't cry, don't be upset, Don't. Like, almost easier to show anger, which is why guys do it.
All right.
Yeah.
When but you say emotional, you know, you think of tears and...
Right, but emotional is anger, is outburst, it is, you know, all of that. Yeah, you're right. We do think emotional is always just tears.
But you can see a guy flying off the handle because...
Which is why bullying in the workplace still happens because there are just the...
I would like people to even be in the bullying.
Yeah, but the power dynamics, like the LA Times had a really interesting story about like this whole bullying about Scott Rudin and Harvey. They said, they're like, this has been going on for so long and it has been tolerated because it's been men that have made the money, men that have made the decisions, men that have had the power with the money. And so it's just been, that's the price of doing business.
Got it.
And that is true, isn't it? It is a very powerful technique to use.
Absolutely.
To be explosive. Do you remember how? Well,
I didn't work as closely with the exploder like you did.
Yeah. But even,
you know, I've worked with explosive people. I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Emotional in I wanted to call it insecurities.
Having a fit.
I'm so uncomfortable around people like that.
And, you know, like some, in the sales world, you'll see that. Like, there, I remember working with this one guy. He would be, I mean, swear and throw things and just be so loud, and we were all in a, you know, a cubicle kind of a thing, and I would be just like, oh, time to go to the cafeteria, because I was embarrassed for him, but he, it never didn't impact his career path, which just shocked me.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So there you go.
All right.
All right.
Do you agree with that at all, Rocco, or?
About the emotions?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
I'm trying to think of guys around here.
I mean, yeah.
Like we work in a very mellow spot.
But so. I think we do, right?
Yeah. But guys, that this is a way that
they've used power.
Males learn early about this as a power technique. And, you know, sometimes you're not even
it's
aware
subliminal.
Of it.
It's subliminal. I was just
it's subliminal.
Say,
it's caveman
I don't see
kind
this
of a thing.
Being something, yeah.
It's just the way guys are. Yeah. If you have a lot of testosterone, you might be like that. Yeah. Yeah. So you can see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on.
Most people can't tell the difference between screams of joy and screams of terror. This was a study, and I'm thinking.
I'm trying to think of when I've heard screams of terror, even to be.
In a movie theater, you'd hear it. Well, on, in a haunted house,
but you're
hear
following
it.
Along with them, right?
Yeah, something like that. But they can't. This is from Emory University. They said they can tell people can tell emotions for screaming, like they can tell an anger scream, mm-hmm. a frustration scream, a scream of fear, but joy and horror when they did the thing, the taping of mm-hmm. the scream. Those were the two they couldn't tell apart. Horror, you know. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They listened to 30 screams from Hollywood movies through headphones and couldn't see the movie. That's how it was done. And then they could pick which one, and they could pick out all these other emotions. But if it was a scream of joy or a scream of horror, they sound the same.
I believe that, though. I'm just trying to think of when I've been really scared, and how would anyone know the difference?
Yeah.
There.
So, yeah, right. Happiness and fear sound the same of joy. Screaming, they open a diamond ring, you know, and then another one, Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, in Halloween, a total scream of fear as Michael is coming, his shadow with the axe or the gun, whatever he had, you know. Sometimes I get my horror movies, that's Friday the 13th. You know, the shadow of the bad man with the axe.
All right, wait, let him play it, Wayne. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Let's hear. I'm just trying to find some scream sound effects. That sounds
like
terror.
Sounds like terror.
Yeah,
I'm
that
sorry.
Sounds terror. That sounds terror.
I'm sorry, that does, right?
Now that sounds like
you're right, because you'd be on a roller coaster.
Right.
Yeah, right.
That sounds like a roller coaster.
Yeah, that was good. That's a sound effect. Girls screaming.
Yeah, see, they sound like they're having fun. Right?
Yes. Oh my God, it's so fun.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Or it could be, oh my God, he's got a knife.
Right, right. So thank you, Study of Duh. And apparently, you know, of course, the reason why, Julia, if you want to know, just like what we were talking about, going back to caveman, mm-hmm. the similarities between cries of terror and joy have deep evolutionary roots. The first animal screams, after all, were probably in response to being attacked by an apex predator. Getting eaten.
By a dinosaur.
That's right. And so in sudden, loud, high-pitched sounds might startle a predator and allow the prey to escape. It's an essential core response. So mistaking a happy scream for a fearful one could be an ancestral carryover bias. If it's a close call, you're going to err on the side of fear.
All right, there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
I know.
What did we learn from that?
Everything, Julia. Absolutely everything.
And well, nothing
absolutely.
At the same time.
It is a true art. We'll be right back. This is her. She sang on the Tonight Show last night. And, of course, this is her Oscar-nominated song, Fate for You. It was really good.
I like it.
Oh, it was so good. So good. I'm trying to think of the name of the movie that this is from. It's the Judas and the Black Messiah. I believe is what that's
yes,
that's from.
The movie that I want to see that I haven't seen yet.
Right, that's one of our movies. We have 2 weeks to watch.
I know, we have 2 weeks to movies. Get some of these in.
Okay, so the gossip mill is already churning because the Friends reunion finished taping over the finished last Saturday night. The Instagram change, Friends, the reunion. They're basically the Friends reunion is meant to help draw subscribers to HBO Max, which is now the exclusive streaming home for reruns of Friends. But I guess it went great because these guys are friends.
They are friends.
They're
yes.
friends. They were smart early on and negotiated
together
as a team, the six of them, to get their $1 million pay. I mean, they're all totally tight. And I guess nothing was scripted. We're not in character, said David Schwimmer told Graham Norton. Although there's one section, I don't want to give it away, but where we all read something.
Okay.
So maybe in character. And one of the stories that someone has made up that Jennifer Aniston is announcing on the show that she's adopted a baby girl from a Mexican orphanage. And her rep said, this story is a fabrication and never happened.
Yeah,
which
lovely.
I can totally.
People just still want her to have a child.
Closer magazine in the UK made that claim. She's totally happy not having children and being the fun aunt in all of her friends' lives. That is really the way to go.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
That's the way you've got. All right, yeah. So there's also going to be another reunion, ER reunion.
Oh, there
George
is?
George Clooney, Noah Wiley.
I bet they're doing it for Anthony to raise Edwards. Money. Are they doing it to raise money? Because otherwise Clooney wouldn't do it.
Juliana Margulies. It's going to air on Earth Day, and it's to raise money for Waterkeeper Alliance, the fastest growing global nonprofit solely focused on clean water. So it's going to be everyone. Everyone, it looks like, is on it.
Is that including, a Zoom thing that we're going to have to see or a tape thing that we'll see on a service?
Let's see.
Like to promote Peacock or something.
It'll stream exclusively on people's social platforms. Gloria Rubin, George Clooney, Noah Weil, Laura Innes, Anthony Edwards, Juliana Margulies.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be something you have to stream.
Right. Well, that's what they're using these things
they're
for.
They're great. It's great. It's a great way to raise money.
And some of the country cutie wives in Nashville have been teasing on social media, and basically TMZ got the scoop that it's not going to be the Real Housewives of Nashville, but it is being produced by NBC, which, of course, owns Bravo. But it's going to be some kind of a show that might end up streaming on Peacock or E, kind of like Real Housewives of Nashville. And I wish it would just be the Real Housewives of Nashville.
I would love the Real Housewives of Nashville.
So, Jana,
I'm game for that one.
Country star Jana Kramer, if you know who that is. She's on it. Tyler Rich's wife. DJ Silver's wife. Be a bunch of, you know, I like it. Get Kimberly Paisley.
She would never do it. Well, she was from Father of the Bride, Brad Paisley's wife. There's no way.
There's no contract signed, but that's what the rumor is. But I'm here to tell you, it might not exactly be Andy Cohen, Real Housewives.
Okay, I'm going to go back and quiz you guys. What is the big word on Scrabble?
We are not interested in being your stressed out children and taking quizzes on our show. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
I've got another one.
This is not to be a new thing.
No. After making me listen to hours, hours and days and years and weeks about the flipping Royals.
Julia, I can't. But it's fresh every day and I don't quiz you. That's
you
the difference.
You preach at me.
No.
Harry.
Well, Julia.
Oh, and Prince Bella.
You were dangerously close to not understanding that racial abuse was happening to Meghan Markle.
Honestly. All right. What? It's still Tuesday. Larry's like,
yeah, I'm just
going to. The royal thing, though, was that a good dig back?
No, I'm just going to go ahead and let you hang with your stressful rope right now.
I don't need to hang.
With both hands.
I really don't need to.
All right.
I don't need to. I'm sure there's another royal story we could talk about. I do think. All right. So here's the thing I do think. Well, he's there with Eugenie and Jack and the baby.
Eugenie.
I like Eugenie.
Okay.
And Jack and the little baby at Frogmore College. I do think that they're going to convince William and Kate to come over for a beer.
Well, Harry has to
quarantine for a while. I know.
5 days, break it.
I think they've got instant tests. They're Royals.
I want William to walk and talk.
Side by side.
Right. Don't sit down and look at each other.
Eye contact will piss you off and you'll take a hard stance.
Look at how you really did want to talk more about the Royals. You really did want to end the show with the Royal
Dash.
Well,
this is the part of them that I'm worried about is the relationship of the brothers. We'll be back tomorrow. Everyone have a good night.
Job done. Off you go.